Welcome back to the Children's Hour. Before the break, that was Manzanar by Tom Paxton and Anne Hills off of Under American Skies. And that word Manzanar refers to the Manzanar War Relocation Center in California. It was one of 10 American internment camps set up between March 1942 and November 1945. Today on the show, we're learning about World War II with Ms. Rand Bridges' fifth grade bilingual students at Alvarado Elementary in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Japan went to war because they needed resources. Their military traditions were very different and included surprise attacks and self-sacrifice. In World War I, Japan was on the winning side, but felt cheated because they had so few resources. Japan attacked China because China had so much raw materials. 2,500 Japanese kamikaze soldiers sacrificed themselves by diving their planes into battleships. They thought they were honoring themselves to their ancestors. As an island nation, Japan had a very strong navy. They thought they could intimidate their enemies with big ships, surprise and kamikaze attacks, and strategic advantages, but the Allies were eventually able to defeat them.
Battleships and aircraft carriers served an important role in the Asian theater in World War II. The Japanese had the advantage at first because they had well-built battleships. They were made so big because Captain Kikuo Fujimoto believed that if you had a big ship and big guns, you would intimidate the other ships. On the other hand, the U.S. battleships were small because of the Panama Canal restrictions they had. It also meant that the U.S. battleships didn't have very thick armor. Once the war was underway, the U.S. decided to focus on making aircraft carriers to hold planes. The U.S. made so many aircraft carriers, like the Yorktown, that because of them, they ended up winning the war. The U.S.'s superior navy, especially battleships and aircraft carriers, was what helped us win the war.
The Battle of Midway was an important event because it ended the threat of Japan invading the Pacific Ocean. The Midway Islands were in the very center of the Pacific Ocean, and the U.S. owned this territory. In May 1942, the Japanese were getting ready for a naval showdown with the smaller U.S. Pacific Fleet. On June 3rd, Japan invaded Midway Island, then the U.S. sent out their plane carriers and destroyed Japan's bomb carriers. Admiral Yamaguchi responded to his burning ships by sending more planes to attack U.S. ships. They seriously damaged one of the U.S. best aircraft carriers, the U.S.'s Yorktown. On June 5, 1942, some of the U.S. sailors on the Yorktown began an unsuccessful salvage operation. More of the Japanese destroyers sank, and eventually the Japanese did not have enough planes to protect their ships. Both sides had many casualties, including the Yorktown aircraft carrier. But the Battle of Midway was a victory for the U.S. and was a turning point for the Allied forces in the Asian threat.
The Air Force is one of the most unique parts of the military. Planes were used in World War II to carry troops and materials. Since planes were new, they were very difficult to fly. The Air Force was founded after the war on February 18, 1947, and it shares the same birthday as the CIA. That shows how important the Air Force is.
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow, just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after tomorrow, when the world is free. The shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see.
That was Rosemary Clooney with The White Cliffs of Dover. We're learning about World War II today from a bilingual classroom at Alvarado Elementary School in Albuquerque, New Mexico. These are fifth graders, and they studied World War II to create this program for the Children's Hour.
Las mujeres ayudaron demasiado en la Segunda Guerra Mundial.
Women helped a lot during World War II.
Las mujeres en la Segunda Guerra Mundial trabajaron en fábricas como los hombres trabajaban. Además, hicieron jardines de la Victoria.
The women in World War II worked in factories to replace the men and created victory gardens to save money.
Estas esfuerzos eran la manera principal en que las mujeres ayudaron.
This is the main way women served their country.
Las mujeres sirvieron en uniforme a su país. Las mujeres trabajaron en las Fuerzas Armadas como enfermeras, administradoras y repararon aviones.
The women also worked in the armed forces as nurses and administrators, and they fixed planes.
Todos no creían que las mujeres tuvieran un papel muy importante en la guerra. Después, el general Eisenhower sintió que no podía ganar la guerra sin las mujeres.
Not everyone believed that women played a very important role in the war. Afterwards, General Eisenhower claimed that we could not have won the war without women.
The rain has shined. She's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory. Rosie, the riveter, keeps a sharp lookout for sabotage. Sitting up there on the fuselage, that little frail can do more than a male can do. Rosie, the riveter, Rosie's got a boyfriend, Charlie. Charlie, he's a Marine. Rosie is protecting Charlie, working overtime on the riveting machine. When they gave her a production knee, she was as proud as a girl could be. There's something true about red, white, and blue about Rosie, the riveter.
That was Rosie the Riveter by Four Vagabonds. That song was inspired by Rosalind P. Walter, a young volunteer during the war. She was 19 when she started helping to put fighter planes together at the Vought Aircraft Company in Stratford, Connecticut. After reading newspaper articles about her, songwriters Red Evans and John Jacob Loeb wrote the song Rosie the Riveter. The Rosie character quickly became a pop culture sensation. Perhaps you've seen her poster bearing her slogan, "We Can Do It." We've posted it at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, World War II. You've been listening to the Children's Hour, and today we've been learning about World War II with Therese Rand Bridges' fifth grade class at Alvarado Elementary School in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We want to thank these bilingual fifth graders for presenting a show for us today. You can find a complete list of participants and links at childrenshour.org, along with a lot of photos. We've got one more segment for you today on the end of World War II. Stick with us. You're listening to the Children's Hour.
In World War II, scientists developed the atomic bomb. How did they make it? They made it with uranium-235. Uranium-235 is a deadly material that was put in the atomic bomb in order to make it powerful and deadly. They didn't drop one atomic bomb. They dropped two atomic bombs. The one they dropped on Hiroshima was called Little Boy. And the other atomic bomb they dropped was called Fat Man. The Fat Man was made with plutonium-239, which is even more dangerous material than uranium.
The city of Hiroshima was bombed on August 6, 1945 at about 8:15 a.m. Hiroshima was bombed by a 9,700-pound atomic bomb called Little Boy. Hiroshima was bombed to bring World War II to a quick end. Roughly 70,000 to 138,000 people died. Some survivors say the flash of the bomb came with a rush of heat and was followed by a huge pressure wave and the loud sound of the explosion. After another city called Nagasaki was bombed, Japan surrendered to America.
The Nagasaki bombing occurred on August 9, 1945, 3 days after the bombing of Hiroshima. The bomb was called Fat Man, and it weighed 10,000 pounds. 50,000 buildings, when hit by Fat Man, were fully or partially destroyed, and it killed 40,000 people on impact. Many innocent people died, including children and women. So, 2 days later, the Japanese Emperor Hirohito declared that they were surrendering to the Allies. That was the end of the war.
That's Therese Rand Bridges' fifth grade class at Alvarado Elementary teaching us about World War II. Learning about war is difficult. It's painful to think about the level of death and destruction that war leads to. Those who lost their lives in World War II were just like you and me. They were people with friends and families. Like Anne Frank, they had their own passions and dreams. But we study and remember history to learn from those moments and work together to make sure that they never happen again. We just have time for one more song for you today. Here's We'll Meet Again by Vera Lynn. Thanks so much for tuning into the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and we'll catch you next time.
We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Smiling through just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
This episode of the Children's Hour was written by fifth graders at Alvarado Elementary School in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The show was produced by me, Katie Stone, with help from Rodrigo Cuenca, Christina Stella, Sarah Gabrielli, and Daniel Lentz.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.